This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. All his life, Johannes Brahms labored under the weight of great expectations. He was barely out of his teens when Robert Schumann wrote his famous New Paths essay in Europe's most influential musical journal, announcing that Brahms was the one chosen to express the most exalted spirit of the times in an ideal manner, one who sprang fully armed from the head of Jove, a youth at whose cradle the graces and heroes of old stood guard, end quote. Brahms was famous as soon as the papers hit the newsstands, and it nearly stopped him dead in his compositional tracks. The ghost of Beethoven had its grip on Brahms as well, intimidating him to the point that he was in his 40s before he could bring himself to finish a work he could confidently call a symphony. Brahms knew very well that most of the great composers who preceded him had taken this crucial step while they were in their 20s, or even younger, including Beethoven. And Schumann's ghost was a factor too, as Brahms struggled not only with his mentor's legacy, but with his own feelings for Schumann's widow, Clara. But Brahms's greatest struggle was always with himself. He was his own harshest critic, destroying most of his sketches to leave behind only the finished product, so no one would ever know what he had gone through to create his masterpieces. Some scholars estimate that he wrote and tore up between 20 and 30 string quartets before he was satisfied enough to send one to his publisher. In his own way, he did recover from Schumann's prophecy, fulfilling his promise with songs, piano music, choruses, and chamber works, and a few orchestral experiments along the way. But when he finally did finish that first symphony, its enormous success gave him the energy and the freedom to start on a second one right away. By that point, Brahms was well established as one of Europe's leading composers, and the leading composer among those who embraced the traditional ideals of abstract music, as opposed to the music, drama, and tone poems of Wagner and Liszt. Brahms began work on his third symphony about 6 years after the premiere of his second. In the meantime, he had explored not only the subtleties of his orchestral voice, but also the range of which he was capable. These were the years of the Violin Concerto, the Academic Festival and Tragic Overtures, and the Piano Concerto No. 2, which was so monumental that it moved some listeners to call it a symphony with piano accompaniment. In his first two symphonies, Brahms explored what he could do with an orchestra. In his next works, he refined his personal worldview into an orchestral fabric. These are compositions in which he consolidates his art and in which he truly becomes Johannes Brahms. His third symphony opens with two broad chords that return several times during the course of the movement. At the beginning, they act as a gathering of energy before the first melody leaps out across the starting line. The opening is full of ambiguity. The key shifts between major and minor, and the rhythm between two groups of three and three groups of two. For the last 150 years, people in the music world have been calling Brahms autumnal. This music is Exhibit A in defending that cliché. The opening music is as wild as a windstorm in a forest, and if you wanted to continue with that image, you'd have to say that this forest is definitely one in which the leaves have started to color. The development section revolves around a series of struggles, but with a moment of respite when the solo horn enters, like sunlight filtered through the haze. Soon, the forces regroup, and the battle resumes with another visit to the symphony's opening measures. Its end, the opening chords make one final appearance, transformed into a gesture not of defiance, but of acceptance. With all of its twists and turns and its story to tell, this movement is a sort of tone poem, although Brahms would have been appalled at that description. The opening of the Andante second movement could be a folk song. Then the tempo slows and the winds begin a call and response with the strings. This is a passage that we'll hear again in several different guises. This dialogue leads into a gently rocking passage that is vintage Brahms, flowing forward and trading melodic lines in a way that sounds slightly out of sync, leaving you with one of those aching moments that's gone almost before you know it has started. After a reprise of the opening, the movement ends with a recollection of the call and response, but in a darker mood, to prepare you for the intermezzo. The third movement intermezzo is another snapshot of melancholy that is quintessentially Brahms. This tune was adapted by Carlos Santana and Dave Matthews in 1998 for their hit song, Love of My Life. Brahms did not receive songwriting credit. The finale opens with another dark undercurrent, music that slithers around in the low strings, first nervously, then nonchalant. Here is where the call and response from the Andante makes its reappearance. Other melodies from earlier in the symphony return, at first aggressive, then poetic. Finally, another familiar passage emerges from a veil of shadows. In its first appearance, it was headstrong and defiant, but now it is mellow and restrained. It is the first theme of the opening movement, transformed by time and experience from a gesture thrust upon the orchestral fabric into a shimmer that arises from it. When we heard it half an hour ago, it was confident, almost arrogant, almost a snarl. It has evolved into a benediction. Brahms's first symphony was heroic, a triumph over adversity. His second, pastoral and cheerful. And while his fourth symphony would inhabit a tragic world, the third sits somewhere in the middle, leading neither to tragedy nor victory, but ending in resignation and hard-won calm. The premiere of the Third Symphony in 1883 was one of Brahms' greatest successes. Typically, he tried to downplay the praise he received, calling it extravagant and unjustified. He wrote to a friend, "The reputation it has acquired makes me want to cancel all my engagements," and it left him feeling once again unable to live up to expectations. History is full of music that triumphed over its initial failure. The story of Brahms is his ability to live with triumph over success. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.